on something about some on angels, on understanding angels, devils, so on and so forth. Let's look at a few verses I just written down. I was just trying to throw them together real quick. But look in the book of, let's just go over real briefly on angels and devils kind of thing. Is it particularly, was there one something in particular, just a quick review or look at it? Okay, so let's look in. So when we say demons is fine to say, but they are devils. It's the same exact thing. It's like a Greek variation of the word. So demons and devils are the same thing. The Bible, the King James Bible uses the word devils. The only difference is some demons can be good. And the Bible, that's why the King James never uses the word demon. It only uses devil because they're always bad. Just for that variation and understanding the difference in the translations. But it's not a big deal because I understand completely what you're saying. Or when I read about demonology or study on it, I know what they're talking about. But they're fallen spirits. God didn't create, he didn't create Satan. He created Lucifer. And okay, so look in Luke, Isaiah chapter 14. Thank you, Jesus. It's double hard because this Bible's in all marked up for me with all my references. I should keep the other one here till I mark this one up. See, here's the four, Isaiah 14, verse 12. This is the fall of Lucifer. It's the only time you find it in the Bible. And like I've told you, the majority of your new Bibles do not have the word Lucifer in here. Isaiah 14, because Luciferians do not believe Lucifer is evil. Okay? Isaiah 14, verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? So it means light bearer. So this is a created being that God made. This is before he fell, and when he was created, his personage was that of a cherub. Looking at Ezekiel 28. So Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 are, you know, generally taught in tandem when you teach about the devil. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect and beauty. So he's about to do what he often does, is he draws a parallel to in the animal world or the created world or the political world or people, and he draws a parallel to the spiritual world. So he's going to use this king and bring a dovetail into the perspective of God giving us a view of something that happened in the past, because it's the same heart attitude. And so he says, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, obviously, that's not talking about the literal king. So you automatically reckon, because it can't be taken literal, you understand that there's a spiritual perspective God wants us to have. So who was in Eden, the garden of God? You read about it in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. There's only three people you read in Eden, the garden of God, or actually four. Adam, Eve, and Satan, the serpent. He had already fallen in Genesis chapter 3, which means Lucifer was created before Genesis chapter 3. And a lot of people stumble over what's called the gap theory. And it's not a theory. Everybody believes in the gap. It's just when you believe it happened. Amen. This period of time where the spiritual world fell. It happened before Genesis 3. So where that, before Genesis 3 verse, 1, 2, and 3, where the serpent comes on the scene. Do you understand? And the reason that's important, because he's the prince of the devils. He's Beelzebub. All right? So devils are spiritual creatures under the authority of the king of these spiritual creatures. The king of the devils is the devil, which would be Satan, who at one time was Lucifer. So are you following me? So he says, because look what he says there. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. who he's talking to existed in Eden, and you're going to see his fall takes place. And that means it existed before Genesis 3. Really, people struggle with, well, where do you put it? I teach very, you know, comfortably that it happens in between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. That the darkness that was upon the face of the deep wasn't part of the creative process of God, in whom is no darkness at all. That's a result of judgment. And that's when and where the spiritual world fell. But some people teach it was after Genesis 1 verse 21 when the Adam and Eve were fully created, and God says everything he created was good. There's a problem with that, and we'll see when we go a few more verses. So he says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald. So these are similar to the garments of the priest, what the high priest would wear. It also is New Jerusalem. The stones are, a number of them are. But he's wearing this. And so the other entity that wears these precious stones is the high priest you read about in Leviticus. So he says, because Satan was a priest, he's a spiritual being. Thou art the anointed cherub. Anointed is the word, it's the word in Greek, it's Christ. In Hebrew, it's Messiah. Sound familiar? Thou art the anointed cherub. Now this is what this being is. So the angels are the spiritual world, and within that spiritual world of beings, you have these sons of God, you have things that are beings that are called seraphim, you have beings that are called cherubim. And so he says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. So around the throne right now, how many cherubim are there? There's four. There was one that covered. He's the fifth cherub, number five. He was above the throne, and he was looking. He was able to look down, and he saw. Okay, now the workmanship of thy tabrets, of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that was created. This is how he was created. So God did not create devils. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways. Remember I taught you perfect isn't sinless. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the throne. Verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up. What is that called? Pride. He's the king over all the children of pride. Thou heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason. See, there is a difference between wisdom and truth. And when pride gets a hold of wisdom, that's where all your philosophy and psychobabble comes from. See, that's wisdom apart from truth. That's wisdom above truth, not being born from truth. And there's a difference, because God seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth, not in spirit and wisdom. Amen? And so he says, I will cast thee to the ground. I'll lay thee before kings. You corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. See that? Now look back in Isaiah 14 again. So you get a fuller picture of this. Reason this is important, because you want to know devils. This is the king of the devils. Isaiah 14. What is it about verse 13? For thou hast, okay, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? He told you in Ezekiel. Lucifer means light bearer. There's four cherubs right now around the throne. There's one above it. Was one above it. That one is Lucifer. That cherub fell. He fell because he, in his wisdom and his beauty, he thought he could be like God. He thought he could be like God. He didn't see God be created. He sees on this throne, who the four cherubim are around the throne, who are they worshiping? And who is that? Who is God? Who are they seeing? You can't see God with the naked eye. He allows himself to be visible in different manifestations, sometimes in the person of the angel of the Lord. In the human manifestation, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we see, because no man can see God and live. And so here he sits, the Lord Jesus Christ that God created the universe through. He's sitting here, four cherubim are around him. And all the spiritual world that's there is worshiping God. And you have this cherub up above, and they're praising, "Thou art worthy, you know, O Lord, you know, that art and was and is to come, for thou hast created all things." So this is what they're seeing. How do they know he created all things? By what? And so what would that mean? It would be by what? What is faith? It's faith, believing his word. That's the only way they would know, because they weren't there before he created anything. You understand? It's no different than what human beings are being asked to believe. And it has nothing to do with whether you're in America or India or anywhere else. So here's this cherub. He's looking down and he says in Isaiah 14, "How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," it's a heart issue, "I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. It's peopled in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." See that? "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." You understand that? So you now having looked at that, look over there in Matthew. Excuse me. Matthew 12. Now, what did I tell you? The number one rule of scriptures is that the scripture can't be what? Can't be broken. Very flexible. Cannot be broken. So you have to always be open. Maybe I'm wrong about something. If you're shown something that that forces something you believed in the past to break with what the scriptures are now showing you, then you have to adjust what you believed in the past to the scriptures, because it's the scriptures that cannot be broken. You understand? Matthew chapter number 12, verse 26 to 27. Yeah, the Bible corrects all of us, you know. Matthew 12, verse 26, 27. I think that's it. Yeah. Well, here, "If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" So he has a kingdom. "And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children?" He's showing you the prince of the devils. You know, the king of the devils is Satan. Takes on different names. But now look at Matthew 25, verse 41. Well, what have to do with angels? Well, you'll see, Matthew 25, 41. First look at the fall, Matthew 25, 41. Okay. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left," here's people that are lost when Christ returns. Matthew 25, 41. See, we read these things. God help us. We just, I know, I speak for myself, but I know it's all of us. We just don't believe what we say we believe. Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen. When he does, he is going to judge people. If people are lost, they are going to hell. Even though I really don't understand what that means. Do you? I mean, I do. You know, the fire, and it's fine. It's like, I got it. None of us comprehend what it means to lose our souls forever. Matthew 25, 41. So he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for" who? The devil and his angels. So in Isaiah, when he says, you're going to go to hell, that's what God prepared it for them. You understand? Now look back in, look in Job. Look in Job 38. Job 38, verse 4 to 7. Here's God answering Job's kind of ignorant anger towards God and accusing him being unfair because of his concept of the laws of sowing and reaping and not understanding the role that suffering has in the purging and purifying and drawing us closer to him because he loves us. People don't comprehend that, but he does want his children to comprehend that. So don't think it's a strange thing if you go through something in your life that isn't because you did wrong, even though you probably did. But that's not the main reason. In Job chapter number 38, see it in verse number 4. Where was thou? Hey, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the what? Now, that takes place in Genesis chapter 1. Before he's done with creating all the things on the earth. Am I right? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 is the stars and everything. This is the earth. We gather the water together, the dry land he calls earth, and the firmament goes above and it's to heaven, right? Now look, where was thou when thou laid the foundations? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof if thou knowest? How big is it? What's the size of it? What's the diameter? What's the circumference? What's it weigh? How fast has it spin? Or who hath stretched the lines upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morn— now look at this. When the what? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You know what that means? You decide yourself. What I'm suggesting to you that means is these morning stars and sons of God were there when God created the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 6, 7. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Yes. He fell. I'm telling you, he fell before Genesis 3, and I believe it's in Genesis 1, verse 2, between 1:1 and 1:2. They were there. Now look back in Genesis 1. There's these spiritual beings that existed. Those sons of God are angels. Some of them became devils because they sided with Lucifer, who became the devil. The devil and his angels. So there's— you got to recognize the deceptive power of Satan. It's like over— Judas Iscariot was an apostle. The other 11 apostles didn't know who he was. Amen? For 3.5 years. Wow. It's pretty wild. Now look at this in Genesis 1. In other words, he's way more powerful in his deception. What's going on in the world right now is just not— that this isn't just orchestrated by Republicans and Democrats and communists and the World Economic Forum, and it's not being joined together by these big people that get to wear white star or green star or white and green star depending how rich they are. It's like you could come— all the elitists, they're not the ones behind the mind of putting this thing together. It's Satan and his devils. He's the king and the god of this world. And so in Genesis 1, see it in verse 1, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep. I teach that between those two verses, the fall of the spiritual world. That's what I teach. Because whenever they fell, it was before— look in Genesis chapter 3. See in Genesis 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God, while they were still in Eden, Satan had already fallen. I teach he fell in Genesis 1 verse 2. You understand? Now, read through this. And God said, let there be light, verse 3. And God saw the light, that it was good. God divided light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The evening and morning were the first day. And God let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it be the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters from under the firmament, the waters above the firmament. And God called the firmament heaven. The evening and morning were the second day. Now it's the third day. It's verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. Right here is what Job— this is what I teach. You have to make your own decision. This is what Job 38 is referring to. Where was thou when I laid the foundations thereof? So there's a spiritual world that exists at this point in time. You understand what I'm saying? It already exists. And because they're there in Job chapter number 38. And the fall of Lucifer, who's up there, nobody knows exactly when it was, but it happened before Genesis 3. I'm telling you, it happened in Genesis 1, verse 2. And what you're seeing here are God. So here's Lucifer in my depiction, standing above. And the throne, here's Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, and you got cherub, and all the congregation, the spiritual world, worshiping him. And he looks down, and before the throne, the Bible says it's like a sea of glass. When you look at a sea of glass, what will you see about yourself? A reflection. That's what he sees. I could do that. He's just sitting there. I could do what he's doing. How do we know he created everything? We don't. Not in Genesis 1, verse number between 1 and 2. See, he looks down. He said, and God says, because of that, you're fallen. He fell. That's when the lights went out. And the first thing God says is, let there be light. For all the spiritual, see, I'm in control of the light switch. Not Lucifer. So it's darkness, then there's light. Now you have this spiritual being that fell. He's no longer above the throne. He's not even around the throne. But he was successful in thwarting, you know, the angels of God into unbelief to the substantial amount of at least one third that are still there right now in heaven that are said to be the devil and his angels. That's a lot. That's a huge deception. But how could he deceive them? Because it wasn't by, none of them saw anything in Genesis 1, 2. They did hear. So now they've fallen. Look at this now in Psalms 104, verse 4. Are you following me? So there's a spiritual world. There's a being called Lucifer. He becomes Satan, the devil, Beelzebub, the prince of all the devils, the spiritual wickedness that dwelt in high places. So look at Psalms 104, verse number 4. So they're called morning stars. They're called sons of God, and then they fall. And they lose their sonship. They just become gods. In Psalm 104, verse number 4, he says, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. This is God. He maketh his angels. Who maketh his angels spirits? Angels are spirits. You follow that, right? Now look at this. Watch this. Watch it transition. Look in the, first look in Job. Back to Job chapter 1. So angels are spirits. Job chapter 1. They don't have a soul. Job chapter 1. Look at it in verse number. Sir? Psalms 104, verse number 4. So in Job chapter 1, verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. This is in heaven. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered and said, from going to and from the earth and walking up and down in it. I was there, now I'm up here. So this is a heavenly, you know, scene that you're seeing taking place. But there's sons of God around the throne. You understand? They're angels, which are spirits, which can be good or evil, depending if they sided with Satan or they chose to believe what God said by faith. Now look at this. Now this is the scene here. These sons of God, they're spirits before the throne. Look at it, 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. Where does the Lord say he would send his... okay, verse number 20. The Lord said, who shall persuade Aram? Here's verse 19. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on the right hand on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So this is a host around the throne in heaven. And one said on this manner, another said on that manner, and there came forth a spirit. and said before the Lord, he maketh his angels spirits. So this is an angel. Is it a good or bad angel? His angel forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these. So the spirit that was before the throne was able to come back, travel back to earth and influence prophets to speak lies. Do you understand that? Who's the king? Who's the father of lies? This isn't God's spirit. This isn't a good angel. It's a bad one. You understand? Now look in Genesis 6. So there's a spiritual world. A lot of you get into some crazy, weird teachings, and that teach there's parallel universes. And that we're living different lives in different parallel universes that all merge. That all gets into crazy kind of wahoo stuff. The Bible doesn't have parallel universe; it has parallel dimensions. There's another dimension that's parallel to this one. There's a spiritual world that is synchronized with this one. They're constantly interacting. As a matter of fact, that's existing in your personal life all the time, day by day. Genesis chapter number 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he's also flesh. Verse number 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, it's a result of. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. So these superhumans are a hybrid of the sons of God and the daughters of men. That's what the giants were. God judges. There is a messing around with genetics taking place during the time of Noah. So when he says, like it was in the days of Noah, don't be surprised if they mess around with genetics. And they may even use things like mRNA vaccines, which are messing around with genetics. Whether you get it or not, I'm not telling you, you're a devil or you're going to turn into a giant. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying we've entered into a new point in time that I personally believe all the chips are on the table. The devil's in. This is it. I think he's called. This is it. He's setting up his kingdom. I believe this is it. It's not just many antichrists have been here. I believe the antichrist is getting ready to rise. And so now look at this in Revelation chapter number 12. So hell was prepared for who? The devil and his angels. Angels are spirits. Yes. No. They were able to interact, physically in the world of humans. Yeah, they were able to, yes. Jesus Christ, or as the angel of the Lord, angels during the time of Abraham, here come angels, he fed them food. He sat with them, they talked. They left footprints. It's not this ghostly ether concept of the spiritual world. They can interact with our world. They do all the time. They can have substance. That's where this whole business of unidentified flying objects are. The world of evolution in that worldview, that ideology, is that those beings or entities are from another planet. God only put life on the planet Earth with a future for other planets. But what you're seeing outside of the planet Earth that's interacting with the planet Earth isn't another planet. It's another dimension. That's what the spiritual world is. That's what devils are. And they're you're constantly seeing them interact. Look at Revelation 12. Some type of genetic code, yes. That could. Now, this is where. Yeah, so look at this in Revelation 12, verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. That's Genesis 3. He's defining you who he is. He's the great dragon. Who's the dragon in the book of Job? It's Leviathan, the great dragon. So that's, he's the king over all the children of pride. He looked down and he saw, I will be like the Most High. He doesn't believe God Almighty is God Almighty. He doesn't believe it. And the great dragon, because ultimately you can only believe that by faith. Because none of us were ever here before we were here except God. It's the same challenge of our faith as it was to Lucifer and the angels in the time of Adam and Eve. How do you know he's God? Ultimately, all your ability to reason, to think, science, and different, you know, aspects of history and knowledge, it all has to come to the threshold of faith. Sooner or later, all the fields of creative sciences must bow to faith. They have to, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. You can't approach God apart from faith. How can you? And he knows that. So what he allows you to do in proving who he is through the evidence of faith is by things you can't prove are proven by things you can prove. I can't prove to you I have power to forgive sins, so I'll tell this to guy to rise up and walk, and you'll see that with your eyes, and that's a visible evidence that I do have the power of doing what you can't see, because I did what you can see. He does that all the time, brethren. This is our wonderful God. And so he tells us in Revelation chapter 12, was it verse 9, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. You see our problem? We believe the Bible. We don't believe the Bible. The world, the whole world is being deceived. He deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And the reason people say it's a third of them is because you look in verse number 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. It's the devil. Having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. That has to do with his last world empire. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. Now think about that. How many stars are there in the universe? Zillions and illions and beyond counting. If one of them, the sun is one star, if the star landed on the earth, what would happen to earth? This is not allowing you to interpret these stars as physical stars. They're angels. The morning stars, the sons of God, the spirits that he called angels. So a third of them are cast out to the earth. The world is getting ready to see UFO phenomena they've never seen before. That's this right here. They're being prepared for that. I personally teach that that's the explanation for the rapture. It's going to be the explanation. We're going to be, you know, when we're caught up, how are you going to explain, you know, millions of people around the planet disappearing? Now look at this. Now jump back to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 4. So, stars, morning stars, sons of God, angels, spirits. Those were all the same thing. They were there at the time of the creation of the earth in the 6-day creation, the 7th-day rest in Genesis 1. They were there. Luke chapter number 4, verse 33. That's why I teach Satan fell before Genesis 3. Luke 4, verse 33. Look at this. Look at the connections. It's unmistakable. Luke 4, verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of what? An unclean devil. So what was that spirit? It was an unclean devil. Did you see that? Look at it in Luke chapter 8, verse 29. For he that commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, this is the man of the Gadareans. Come out of the man, for oftentimes it caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many, what are in him? Verse number 29. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Verse 30. And Jesus said, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entering into him. Devils are unclean spirits. That's what they are. They're fallen angels. Look at this in Luke chapter Hebrews chapter number 13. Or not 9. You're not Luke 9, verse 42. One more there. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean what? Devils are unclean spirits, and healed the child. You're looking at a time when people are they're possessed with devils. Never in the Bible does it say that God possesses you. It does say the devil possesses you. Because when you possess something, you're owning control of it. God never does the Holy Spirit control you. Where he possesses you, he wants a yielded, submissive spirit. That's what he wants, because you have freedom. Only use not your liberty as occasion to the flesh. That's not how the devil works. That's what you see. That's an identification mark of what you see a lot of these charismatic movements, ministries, where people are being taken control of by a spirit. That's not how God works. It doesn't mean you can't shout and scream and praise God. A lot of Christians are so afraid, you know, that the Holy Spirit's real, man. Miracle, you should be praying for miracles. And God works supernaturally in your life. I do. Amen. I'd love to see, you know, if God wanted to have a ball of fire sitting above our church, you know, inviting people in. You think they'd come? Would you? Would you? Neither do I. Genesis 9, verse. Oh, but so did you get the connection? That's enough of them. It's all throughout the New Testament. What I was saying is during the time of Christ, he was healing people that were possessed by devils. That's going on all around us. There's people that are doing crazy things because they have devils. Sir? Some people teach there are. There, nowhere in the Bible do you find angels ever as females. They're always male. You can't say because that's why they're called sons of God. But if you're born again here, you're a son of God, because the spirit of the Son of God indwells you. So that's not enough. The reality is, as you read through the scriptures, no instance is ever found where a woman or a feminine pronoun is, you know, descriptive of an angel. Doesn't exist. So it's safe to say that angels aren't women. Now, look at this in... Sir? Donna. What you got? Well, unfortunately, the same thing that happens with all types of sin and collateral damage and the effect that no man lives to himself and dies to himself. If you're a drunkard as a parent, it affects your children. So if parents are involved in voodoo and witchcraft and all that, it affects their children. But you're saying you have to be evil. There's people that get involved in it because of their upbringing. That aside, you have to introduce and invite a spirit into your life. Now, you may be getting bombarded with something. I'm guaranteeing you've been hit by devils, whether you realize. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. But he can never just take control. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? There is a trade-off. There's a video out there that's called They Sold Their Soul for Rock and Roll. These are people that consciously, high-end people made pack, and I believe a lot of people in Hollywood, a lot of famous people, because let's face it, there's tens of thousands of great singers, and you could give your body to a man or a woman and, you know, get favors, you know, get this special part in a movie or allowed to be sing in a special event or be promoted in politics or a job. That happens all the time, but it's not just with the physical world. It's also with the spiritual world. People make pacts with Satan. What would thou give in exchange for thy soul? Now, you know that because the devil said to Jesus, look at everything. What do you want? What do you want? Just bow down and worship. You can have that. And people make those trade-offs. I want that. See? So oftentimes, for the most part, people get involved in satanic things in that way, whether they realize in the beginning it's satanic or not is besides the point. Even when people are doing things for wrong reasons, there's a satanic influence, like I showed you in 1 Kings 22. So they did it for, there was a spirit behind Judas's betrayal of Jesus Christ, whether he realized it or not in the beginning. But eventually it became evident. Hebrews 13, right? Verse number 1 and 2. Sir? Yeah. Well, I know what you're saying. That is. Yes, there's no indication. Well, there's no indication that they were.
And I think the angels, they desired to
yeah, they wanted that. They wanted to. I want, just like people want things in the spiritual world, they wanted things in the physical world. So you know, that seems to be the case, because there's no indication of God creating female angels. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 1 and 2. Verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained what? Unawares. You may have entertained an angel at some time, like in a human form. There's no doubt in my mind that it's bombarded your mind at times. You know, through advertisements, through movies, in your day-by-day walk, things have hit you, and there was a spiritual entity behind that blowing in your ear or whispering in your ear. Or you had this crazy, insane, bad dream, and you didn't eat pizza at 12 o'clock at night. What's the reason? There's no other reason. As entertain angels unawares. Now, where's that verse, Ann, that you asked the week before last? Peter? What was that verse, Ann? Yeah. You asked that verse in 1 Peter 3:19. So this is what he's talking about in 1 Peter 3:19. So when Christ died and he was buried, where did he go for 3 days and three nights? Where? He went to hell, the heart of the earth. And within that heart of the earth, there are chambers, the book of Proverbs calls it. There are rooms. There are divisions. And when he went down there, he preached to fallen angels as well as souls that were saved and or lost. But he preached. And it's like, I told you I was God. 1 Peter 3, verse 19. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the what in prison? The spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of... He's speaking specifically about spirits. What are angels? They don't have a soul. He says, when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved. So he went down there and he preached to them. There was a bunch of angels that fell and sided with Satan, that they were cast into hell as a result of that. There's still a whole bunch up in heaven. They haven't been kicked out completely yet. They haven't given up. Say, why wouldn't they give up? Why wouldn't man surrender after 6,000 years of history, trying this and it fails, and 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 this and it fails. This religion is dirty, this religion is wicked, this religion is... But why wouldn't they just come to Jesus Christ? You know, I mean, can you tell me who else has the words of eternal life? Nobody. Jesus Christ does. We got the right God, man. We got the right book. See, it's our heart and it's our faith that has to grow. So did that brief outline... Did you kind of get it? So you wanted to know UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Biblically, they're not unidentified. They're spirits. They're not from another planet. They're from another dimension. The other dimension is the spiritual dimension, which can interact with ours like that. You cannot get to heaven faster than the speed of light and be back the same day. The farthest planet out there is how many light years away? 100 million light years away. So you're obviously traveling faster than light, or you're crossing over into another dimension through a window or a door, just like the book of Genesis says when God poured out the waters from the deep through the windows of heaven. That's what he's talking about. It's exactly what he's talking about, because that's what's before the throne. So you kind of got a look at that. Anybody got any questions on or input, sister? Jude, verse 13, right before Revelation. Yep. And they stayed there. That's right. That's right. And forever they'll be in the blackness of darkness. Because Lucifer only is a light bearer. He's not the life and the light of men. It's a counterfeit. It's a complete counterfeit. He is obsessed with counterfeiting God. And the best he can do is falsify it through electrical impulses of, you know, simulating your soul through the personality that is, you know, projected while you're yet alive, putting it on some form of a software so that, see, you're still alive, and mimicking it in some sort of robotic form. That is what's called singularity. That's what we're racing to. It's a radical redefinition of life, because he gave life to the what? Image of the beast. It's electric life. It's not eternal life. It's cheap. What a cheap counterfeit. Just like, you know, plastic implants. I'm just saying. Versus the real thing. Amen. You just be patient, honey. Because the real thing's coming. Jude, what, verse 13? Raging waves of the sea, is that it? Yeah, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of the darkness forever. That's as close as you'll come to what science calls a black hole. Forever, inescapable, just shrinking. He must increase, shrinking. And if you're not in Christ, that's a bad place to be. Waving waves, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. I understand what you're saying. The wandering stars involves the fallen angels. Yeah. They don't. Yes, they do. Well, when the rich man, the only clear description you have of hell, there's a few different little pieces, like, you know, Samuel is allowed to let Saul see something going on down there, and the witch says, like, wow, we're not supposed to see that. But you're saying the people, the humans that died down there, not all, there's different compartments, and in Luke chapter 16, go ahead and look at it. What is? The women? The sons of God aren't hybrids, they're angels, fallen spirit. One has a soul. Yes. Yes, you have a hybrid. You have a hybrid. Because I don't know of giants being said to have souls. So it's a hybrid. Is it? He's trying to create a superhuman race. Yeah, and we haven't seen. There's stuff we have no idea what's going on behind the scenes, military and stuff. But you read about it in Joel chapter 2 and Joel chapter 3, and you've got Satan's mighty men and God's mighty men, and God's mighty men are you and I coming back with him. The armies in heaven coming back with him, where bullets are going to come through, bounce off, so on and so forth. Bing, not going to bother us. Huh? Okay, let's look at what was the first one you asked. Oh, Luke 16. Luke 16 is, where's the rich man that dies? Luke A certain rich man, clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously. Just look at God's words, fared sumptuously. And there was a certain, I just love that word. That's a cool, that's one of the words I have down on my list of cool words. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was late. Now see, Lazarus, his name is known, the rich man isn't. In the world, who do you think his name is known? That's something? What's the trade-off? Which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came, licked his sores. It came to pass the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So angels have a function, they have a purpose. They're transporting at this point in time to Abraham's bosom, which is in the center of the earth, because he died. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torments, and seeth Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So now, it always fascinates me, and I do not grasp the reality of hell. I don't. Only a snippet. But he's not here screaming, ah! Ah! That's not what he's doing. He's talking. Almost, he's talking cognitively. He's aware of things, and yet at the same time, he is in insufferable torments. And so he says, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, so he could see. But this isn't physical eyes that are, you know, if they're burnt up by the physical fire, there's a spiritual body, which is his soul, that you're seeing right here. The Bible says, this day thy soul shall be required of thee. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. This is what's going on in hell. So those other humans that died are in a category of the underworld called hell, where there's a fire and torment. He doesn't receive the mercy of God. He lost his soul. Oh my God, thank you, I'm saved, praise the Lord. Thank God you're saved, amen? We'll never ever know what hell really is. Sir? That's what they teach, yes. So it says when Jesus Christ died, he said he would give the sign that he's the Messiah, that as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights where? The heart of the earth. So it's not the grave. Because I think it's deeper than 6 feet down. What's that? Well, just because they'll get into the Greek and Hebrew with the words Hades and Sheol, and they'll say it only means grave. And it doesn't. Now look at this in Ecclesiastes 3. Because when you die, what goes in the grave? Your body.
This is also a picture of the rich and the poor in the book of Revelation.
As far as
the rich man bearing sumptuously.
Yes. Because what you're seeing happening, it's not just a distinction of the tiers of your economic status. Oftentimes, what you're seeing happening is people are making decisions to put themselves into this financial elite group where they're selling their souls. I know it is. It's similar to that because you read about it in James. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
So look at it in Ecclesiastes. There's no book like this book. Ecclesiastes didn't know Jude was going to write that, and Moses wrote this, and Isaiah wrote this, and Ezekiel wrote this. This is it all. It's one author. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Yeah, it's one book. And of course, we know what the line is that goes through the whole thing, right? The thread line. Ecclesiastes chapter, and we're going to finish the book of books as soon as we finish the book of Proverbs, as soon as we finish the study on devils, as soon as we finish on the crucified life. And I don't mind, you got questions. Well, it would be nice if you asked me a little ahead of time so we could have an actual prepared study, but this is good, winging it, right? Ecclesiastes 3. Look at verse 18. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, not the sons of God, that God might manifest them and they might see that they themselves are beasts. In this respect, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all his vanity. They're both going to die. For all go on to one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. That's talking about their bodies. Look at it. So when he talks about burial in the grave, it's only the body. The Bible says, we'll look at it in Matthew in a minute. Hold on. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth where? Goes upward. Whenever a person dies, the Bible says they give up the ghost. Never give down. It's the spirit. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the spirit of a dead man. That's why Christ, the Holy Ghost is never called the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament, only the New Testament. Because Christ died in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. Because it was still the Old Testament. So he said, "What? Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of beast that goeth where?" So when God made the animals, their spirit life came from the earth. You read about it in Genesis 1. But when he made man, their spirit life came right from what? Right into their nostrils. And so I'm told, it goes from one and crosses to the opposite lung, making a cross. Isn't that amazing? And so, wherefore I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his work. So it's the spirit of man that goes up. When he says the spirits in prison, those weren't men. Those were fallen angels, which are spirits, which sided with Satan, who was Lucifer, who said, "I could do that." And the lights went off. And when the lights came back on again, it was God the Creator. Any other questions? Sir, anything? Well, look at Revelation chapter 19. So here is the last depiction of the last of four returns of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. And so you see it right here. Verse number 6. I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." So alleluia is a Hebrew word. Of course, I believe that's a Greek, not transliteration, is that what it is? Of the Hebrew word, hallelujah. And that's why people teach that Hebrew is the language of heaven. But anyways, that's one of the reasons why. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife had made herself ready. The Lamb's wife is said to be who? The church. The church is the bride of Christ. She's in heaven. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of what? And what you're going to discover at before the marriage is that our righteousness is his righteousness. His righteousness is our righteousness. That's what he's going to show us. That's what Paul is saying, that he wanted to attain to the resurrection of the dead, that his righteousness would not be of the law, but of Christ. And he saith unto me, "Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he saith unto me, "These are the true sayings of God." And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, "See thou do it not. I'm thy fellow servant of thy brethren, which have the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy." So this is the marriage of the Lamb taking place. And then he says, "And I saw heaven open." Second time. So I teach in Revelation, it's in chronological order. That's why it's the most simplest book to believe, to understand, the hardest book to believe. Because it's like, wow, every page you turn to. But he's giving you a chronology. 22 chapters. Heaven opens up in chapter 4 and someone goes up. Heaven opens up in Revelation 19 and someone comes down. You're not told who goes up, but you're told who goes down. And all I could say to you is, whatever goes up, the church. And so he says, so this is the bride coming down. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. This is Satan's depiction of Santa Claus. Out of the north, white beard, flying four-footed animal, you know, lots of gifts, and coal. And now here's verse 14. And the armies. So why would God call us soldiers? Fight. Warfare. See? Weapons. It's spiritual battle. And so he says right here. Now he told Simon Peter, he said, how many swords you got? We got two, Lord, we got two. He said, that's enough. So you know what they thought those swords were for? To keep him from going to the cross. That's why Simon cut off the guy. And the Lord said, what are you doing? It ain't time yet. The time's going to come when you're going to need those swords. Amen? Self-defense is not unbiblical, but not when it comes to spiritual warfare. So what you got going on right here is no longer spiritual warfare alone. And so he says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth go the sharp sword. The armies which are in heaven. Now you look at that in Song of Solomon. We'll look at Song of Solomon, we'll look at Joel. 16. Song of Solomon 16? 16. Song of Solomon. Chapter 6, verse 10. Song of Solomon is, it's a poetic, beautiful depiction of Solomon's love to a woman, with a woman. And he started with Proverbs, the wisdom and instruction of his parents, went into the world thinking there was something there, ended the book of Ecclesiastes where Proverbs began, and recognized and realized the one true love of his heart. And this is what God wants us to realize in our journey. The one and only one true love of our heart is with Jesus Christ. He is the Song of Solomon. And so in, where did I say turn? Yes, Song of Solomon. I should have guessed. Song of Solomon. What was it, Andy? Help us out here, brother. Okay, so it's after Ecclesiastes because it ends with a song. Song of Solomon 6, verse 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun? This is our light. Our light is reflective light. We don't create. The light doesn't come from us. It bounces off of us. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. That's you and I. That's what you're reading in Revelation chapter 19. Now look at it in Micah chapter, Joel chapter 2. Exactly. Exactly. That's you and I. We're a type of the moon. So technically we're all moonies. But we're saved, born again moonies. Now would you come in if the sun was shining? Hosea Joel. Daniel Hosea Joel. Joel chapter 3. Where's the mighty men in Joel 3? They're fighting. Behold, I raise him out of place. I will sell yourself. Okay, verse 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. He's a God of war, our God. So heaven opens up. He comes to make war. Armies follow him. Those armies involve and include you and I, because it's also angels, because he says he comes with 10,000 of his saints. Enoch's talking about, and in Thessalonians, he talks about coming with his angels. So it's the host of heaven. This is the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. This is the great reset. So he says, prepare war, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let's fight. God's just saying, let's go. Come on. This is when the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But he's very long-suffering. And he says, let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together around. This is why God split up Babylon, because he knew when man came together, they would embolden each other in their unbelief and try to build a kingdom that would reach heaven. And he says, so let's go. Gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. So he's going to have a war, right? Now look at it in chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Here's a trumpet blowing in Zion. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It's nigh at hand, in verse 1. A day of darkness and of gloom, a day of clouds, as the morning spread upon the mountains. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. This is the return of God's army with him. A fire devoureth before them, not him. And behind them a flame burnt. So he's leading the path. Amen. And the land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape. Just imagine this huge, great, powerful, unstoppable, you know, a fullback. I mean, he's just full. He's fully God. He's fully man. And he's got the ball. And he's running for the touchdown. And the rest of the team is following him. And he's just all the opposing team, and then the crowds come in and they try to stop him, and he's just running through them, run, and he's stepping on them, and he's squashing, and he's running around the 50-yard line and the 40-yard line, and he's doing circles, and he just keeps going, and we're following him. See? We're always following him. We just forget it sometimes. And so when this is what's going on. And so he says, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is at the Garden of Eden before them, and behind, that's to Satan's attempt to bring in a kingdom on earth. The land is at the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as the horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways. They shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one... This is you and I. This is God's army following him, and nothing can stop. So Satan, with all his weaponry and all his sonic weapons and his blaring, you know, invisible rays and all these, you know, technological discoveries they're coming up with now, they're not to combat just you and I. There's enough weapons to destroy this earth 10 times over. This is preparing for the day of the Lord. See? And you're just going to, these things are just going to bounce off of us. He gives us eternal life and bodies that can't be killed. And we're just going to be following him. We're going to realize this is the captain of our salvation. So are we fighting? We're fighting behind him, following him. He's trampling them out himself. And we're right there. And nothing's going to hurt us in the way. I suggest you read Joel chapter 2 and do a study on it. It's wonderful. And Joel 3, because it's one army versus the other. One group of mighty men versus the other. That's what it is. So David has a list before he dies of who he considers his mighty men. Who's in the front? Who are the ranks that are right behind him? Not just on the right and the left hand of the table. Who's right behind him and left behind him? Right, going so on and so forth in that army. That's an interesting thing that you don't hear people talk about. Yes. Yep. You know, because look one other place, Romans 16. He's going to let us have part of this. We're going to have part of this. Look at Romans 16. The rocket ship, won't stop us. Won't stop us. Yes. Well, all that has to do with all. That's what Elon Musk and them are trying to do. Nothing wrong. Not criticizing him for that, but it's vain. Romans chapter 16. Where does it talk about with Satan? Look at it with Romans 16. Yeah, verse 20. The God of peace shall bruise Satan. What's it say, Brother Jim? Under what? the God of peace, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The great, see, that Satan's a conquered foe, but God's going to allow us to be part of that victory over Satan.
Amen.
You're going to look forward to that. This is a wicked, evil world. So, okay, anything else? Anybody got anything else? All right, so just call this Trudy's Bible study, okay? Lord, bless your wonderful, wonderful, thank you so much for this precious book in Christ's name. Amen.